Little do I know. Little do I know. So what is the practice all about? Huh? And what is meditation about? Huh? What is the purpose of meditation? Finding a happy pill? Yeah? Having a happy moment, you know, once in a while? That makes us go through the suffering or the dukkha, yeah, that we have in our life, and then resting, you know, or taking in, you know, this happy pill, you know, and then going on in our life. What is the purpose of meditation? It's pretty much, well, going back, you know, what is the purpose of meditation? It's just like, what is the purpose of cleaning our house? Yeah, I mean, if you like untidy houses, you know, or apartments or rooms, you know, I mean, it's fine, yeah. But whenever we come into a room, normally, when we come in a room and it is in a mess, yeah, I mean, we like to tidy it up. So, if it is tidy and clean, you know, I mean, we enjoy it. If it is untidy, you know, and messy and dirty, we don't like it, you know. I mean, we don't feel very comfortable. Yeah? So, and the purpose of the meditation is the same thing, you know, to tidy up our mind, yeah, or the heart, yeah? Whatever, yeah? To make it clear so that we can think clearly. Yeah? Thinking straight. Not only for 2-3 thoughts, you know. It is just like coming into a house, you know, that is completely messy. Yeah? I mean, all these things are sticking out. Yeah? This reminds us of that. That reminds us of that. Yeah? We don't get anything done. Yeah? I mean, when we start, most of the people are over the border already or borderline already. I mean, they come and see the mess and say, oh God, you know, and then they don't want to clean up because they know it takes hours, weeks, or maybe even months, you know, to clean it completely, you know, and to get all this, the chunk, you know, that collected over the decades, you know, of our life, you know, there, you know, so they just, you know, put the new things on to top of that, you know, and it becomes messier and messier and messier. And the same thing is with our mind, yeah. If we can't clear our mind, you know, so that it becomes, yeah, tidy, huh, and clean, yeah, so that we can see actually what is in the mind, yeah, or what is in the heart, yeah. I mean, it is always a mess, yeah. This experience comes up, that experience comes up, this dream comes up, you know, this image comes up, and that image has come up. It's just like, you know, going into a very messy home, yeah? I mean, you stumble over all these things, you know, that you constantly collected over the last decades of your life. And it's the same thing, you know, with our mind it is even worse. It's not only, you know, what we have collected over the last decades of our life, it is what we have collected over billions of lives. It's still there. It has not been removed, you know, and it's still lingering somewhere, you know, probably a thousand feet, you know, under other things, yeah. And whenever we start to meditate, all these things are coming up, yeah. And then we, just like, you know, with a very messy house, we don't like to clean it up. Yeah? So we give up. So the purpose of meditation is really to clean up the mind, to get it straight, you know, so that we can think straight. Look at your, now, I mean, just the example, I mean, here, you're here to practice, you know, and you practice anapanasati, and sometimes you think, I mean, investigate your thoughts, you know, how long can you keep on the same subject? Without deviating from the subject. 2-3 thoughts, and then there's an idea coming up, and there's a thought coming up, and there's a memory coming up, and then you deviate from the subject. It's just like within the messy house, you know. I mean, you want to clean up, and then you see this, I need to do this, and then you see that, I need to do that, and then, I mean, you don't get anything done. And that is the same thing with our mind or with our heart, you know. I mean, we start to do things here. We start to think about certain things, you know, and all these memories, all these experiences, all these whatever, you know, thoughts are coming in, you know, and messing things up. And we can't think straight. And we should be able to think straight. So one of the reasons, you know, to do meditation, yeah, is to get a clear mind. And it is so difficult. Of course I understand that it is difficult. I mean, it is not easy, yeah. I mean, it is like, you know, I mean, remember the times when you cleaned your room or apartment or house, you know, I mean, when it was really messy, you know, I mean, it isn't easy, you know, I mean, you don't like to do it, you know, but you have to feel you need to do it and so on. And you know, sometimes you give up and sometimes you go through, but it is not easy. And that is the same thing with the mind. It is not easy, yeah. I mean, the mind is now, you know, it is like a wild animal, just like the Lord Buddha said, you know, it's just like a wild elephant that you need to train, you know, to be the king's warrior elephant, yeah? I mean, the first thing, the wild elephant, you have to bind it, you know, I mean, you have to catch it. Just like we catch, you know, we catch our mind when it goes out, we catch it, you know, and then we bind it to a pole, yeah? And this pole is very heavy, and it is, you know, cemented in, you know, or whatever, so that the elephant cannot rip it out, and it tries to get loose, and that is what our mind is when we are with the Buddha, or when we are with the breath, the mind wants to get loose, yeah, most of the time it actually gets loose, yeah, but then we try to tie it to the pole again, yeah. And then, you know, once the elephant sees, you know, that's what the Lord Buddha said, once the elephant sees, you know, it cannot get off the pole, it goes to sleep. It rests. And that is what samadhi is, yeah? I mean, it's rest. It's re-energizing. I mean, think about all the effort that we take, you know, to run away from the pole and to run away in the world. Yeah, I mean, we are constantly distracted, we are constantly energized. And when we go into samadhi, when we come out, we are energized. Yeah? It's like a deep sleep, you know, we have a deep sleep. And then when we come out of the deep sleep, we feel refreshed. That's always, you know, when we really actually enter samadhi, when we come out, we feel refreshed. Huh? And not only that, we have a very clear mind. So, going back to meditation, you know, I mean, we need to calm in, we need to curb in the mind, you know, and this pole that we have, it should be only one pole, yeah? And this should be very sturdy, yeah? And this is, you know, I mean, you can compare it to a lifesaver when you swim in the ocean. Yeah? I mean, if you have a lifesaver, then you can hold on to it, yeah? And you don't drown, yeah? And what happens to normal people? They drown in their thoughts, or they drown in their imaginations, or they drown in their memories, yeah? How many people, you know, drown in their memories, oh, the past was so nice, yeah? I mean, the past was as much of dukkha, you know, as now the present moment, you know, we always have dukkha. Why do we dream of the past, you know? I mean, we don't remember all these times of dukkha. Huh? That's why we go into the past, because we only remember the nice times we had. Oh, that was so beautiful. But if you go into the memory, if we would go into this memory, specific memory, then we would see, you know, I mean, it is surrounded by dukkha, by unsatisfactory feeling. Hmm? And there was maybe only a moment, or maybe only 10 moments, you know, of happiness, you know, was surrounded by minutes or hours of unhappiness. Hmm? But the Kalisas, you know, fool us with that and say, yeah, the past was much better. It wasn't better. And the future is not better either. I mean, what we can do is, you know, to make the mind clear. And that is the purpose of meditation, to make the mind clear. So that we are actually able to think straight. Without constantly being diverted by this or by that. Whatever is lingering in our heart, whatever memories or thoughts, old thoughts that we have not processed or we have not chucked out, are lingering in our heart, you know, this is what is diverting our attention. When there's nothing more lingering in our heart, yeah, I mean, there's no diversion. Yeah? So we can think straight and clear. So, but we have to do this work, you know, I mean, we have to curb in the mind, we have to to catch the wild elephant, you know, I mean, the Lord Buddha, you know, compared it with the citta, we have to curb in, you know, we have to catch the citta, you know, and bind it and fix it to a pole, yeah? And the pole is either Anapanasati, that is the tip of the nose, you know, where we know that the breath goes in and the breath goes out, not moving, you know, not moving our attention to another pole. No, I mean, we just take this pole, yeah, the attention on the tip of the nose. And that's where we stay. We stay there put with our concentration. That's it. Very simple. I mean, the instructions are so simple, yeah. Yet, it is so difficult to do. When we do the Buddha, you know, then we put our attention, or the pole is the Buddha, 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 yeah. And that's where we keep our attention. And whenever the mind goes out, then we bring it back. Yeah. We don't worry about that the mind has gone out. We notice, yeah, the mind has gone out, it has strayed away from its object of meditation, be it the Buddha or be it the breath, yeah, and has gone out into thinking or imagination, and then the moment we notice it, before we can't do anything, before we notice it, that the mind has swayed away from the object of meditation, we can't do anything. The moment we notice it, then we can bring it back. And we don't ask any questions, we don't get, you know, we don't... We don't get dissatisfied that the mind constantly goes out. We just bring it back, and we just bring it back, and then bring it back until it stays there. Yeah? Just like, you know, when the moment the elephant knows it cannot, you know, it escaped from the rope, and then it starts to lay down, and when it starts to lay down, it goes to sleep. And that's exactly what we are going to do in samadhi. We are going to rest ourselves. Yeah? And when we come out of samadhi, we are rested, and the mind is clear. Or energized, or whatever you want to call it. Yeah? I mean, it is always the same. No matter what kind of experience we have in samadhi, the result when we come out is always the same thing. We are rested, or energized, and we are clear. We are very clear. We are concentrated. Yeah? Whatever happens within the samadhi, you know, some people, you know, have a feeling of happiness appearing, as other people have a feeling of peacefulness appearing, other people have just stillness, you know, or whatever. Or some people, you know, I mean, because when they go in the first time, I mean, the tears are running down, you know, because they are so happy. Huh? Pity. Huh? That doesn't matter what happens, huh? I mean, it, samadhi, upachara samadhi can have as many differences, yeah, as you can think of, imagine of. Yeah? But the result is always the same. When you come out, you feel energized, yeah, and you feel concentrated, or the mind is clear. And this is something you really have to remind yourself all the time. Oh yes, I was in samadhi, but I feel so tired. Then you have not been in samadhi. If you feel tired, if you constantly fight, you know, for the mind to go back, yeah, you don't really have to fight, you know. I mean, you just have to pull it back. And that's where you need your effort and determination. Because the determination to pull the mind instantly back, the moment you know it has gone out, that is what is really making a success in your meditation. You don't ask the question why it has gone out. You don't ask the question what it wanted, you know, or what it was looking for, or why it has gone there. No. You just notice it has deviated from your object of meditation, and then you bring it back. And if you do that constantly, you know, within days, you will be able, you know, to arrest into samadhi. But, and the Kilesas are so clever. They trick us constantly. Oh yes, this is important. That is important. Oh, where is this thought coming from? I haven't had that for a while. Where is this memory coming from? Does it come from a past life? Huh? Well, what is the use of that? And then you are already back in the fangs of avijja. Yeah? Or in the fangs of the Kilesas. They want to know. Huh? Do you remember the definition of avijja that I normally give? Wanting to know, but not being able to know in line with the truth. Wanting to understand, but not being able to understand in line with the truth. That's a pure definition of avijja. Yeah? Normally it is just to say it is fundamental ignorance, but you know, I mean, what does it mean? Do we know what it is mean? What does it mean? Does anybody have any idea of what it means, you know, fundamental ignorance? Huh? But if I define it as wanting to know but not being able to know, wanting to understand but not being able to understand, I mean, this gives us a certain understanding of what is going on. Yeah? And you will see it every time, you know, when the mind goes out, you know, I mean, it's searching for something, yeah? It's so restless, it's searching for something, you know, wants to investigate this or investigate this. Why, you know, why are so many troubles when I don't sit in samadhi? I don't have any troubles, you know, when I don't, you know, do walking meditation, this confined walking meditation, when I walk around, you know, through the nature, I can walk go for a stroll for hours without any getting tired, yeah? But when I walk on my chankrom path, you know, it is also walking, yeah? Huh? After 30 minutes, I get so tired, oh, it's a bore, yeah? Because the mind is constantly out. Huh? So we have to curb it in. And that is the beginning. In the beginning it is really, you know, I mean, the more effort we put in that, in the beginning, and the more serious and determined we are, and determination is that, you know, I mean, I am determined. The moment I wake up, I said, I am determined. Whenever the mind goes out, I bring it back to the Buddha or to the breath or whatever it is. And then don't let go of this determination. And see the tricks of the kilesas. Yeah, understand them. You know, I mean, evaluate them when you go in the evening, when you do some reflection, you know, the daily reflection. That's where you see how the kilesas trick you again. Yeah? Wanting to know this, wanting to know that. Or wanting to do this and wanting to do that. Huh? I mean, you constantly wanting. Yeah? That reminds me of this morning when we went Pindapat. There were these two cars, you know, coming, you know, and asking for donations. And there was a group of monks, you know, coming from another province, yeah. They want to build a new boat. What is a boat, you know, a temple or what is it? What is a boat? Ordination hall, yeah. They wanted to build a new ordination hall, yeah. It's so nice, you know, I mean, you know, the monks are building ordinations hall, they're building this, they're building a temple, they're building all these beautiful places. And that reminds me, huh? Have you heard of Nietzsche? Huh? Friedrich Nietzsche? Huh? I mean, he one time went into a church and said, have you heard of that? He went into the church, you know, and then he accused the people, you know, who are in the church, you killed God! There's no more God in this church! Yeah? And that's the same thing. You go to a Buddhist temple here and there's no more Buddhism in there. There's no Buddhist spirit in there. There are only monks working, you know, building. Hmm? But the Buddhist spirit has left. Huh? I found it, you know, when I read Nietzsche, you know, I mean, I found it really good. Yeah? You killed God, you know. I mean, there's no spirit anymore in this church. You know, it's just a church, yeah. And that's the same thing, you know. People who traveled over Thailand, you know, I mean, they're really gorgeous places. They're really very gorgeous and very beautiful temples, you know. I mean, all ornated, you know, and very beautiful Buddha Rupa statues, you know. But when you go in, you know, all what you see is, you know, there's no more spirit in there. And then you go to Wat Papantat, you know, that is not a gorgeous place, there is nothing to see, you know, but you feel all the spirit, yeah? You feel the spirit of Buddhist practice or Buddhism in there, huh? Also within the monks, yeah? So, doing this and doing that, you know, and that is why diverted from the subject, you know, building this, doing this, or doing that, you know, I mean, you know, takes out the spirit of Buddhism, you know, of our Buddhist practice. Yeah? Why we came here in the first place, you remember? Huh? How did you end up here? Yeah? All of you? Huh? I mean, the first reason probably was dukkha. Huh? We were dissatisfied with our life. Yeah? And then we thought, you know, I mean, Buddhism or the practice of meditation, you know, brings us some happiness and some some refinement and some understanding. Yeah? And then after a while, you know, I mean, you get tired of cleaning up the mess in your heart and your citta, you know, and then you start thinking, oh, I need to do this, oh, I need to do that, this needs to be... Of course, there are a lot of things that needs to be done. Yeah? But are they necessary? Huh? Are they really essential for our living here? I mean, you have to ask. Huh? It reminds me of the time when I was in Wat Prabhantad. You know, I mean, when Avalunga was in Bangkok, he went twice a year to Bangkok for 2 or 3 weeks. Yeah, I mean, you saw the monks, you know, the moment he was gone, you saw the monks, you know, starting this building project, that building project, you know, and then he came back, you know, and then he was really angry, you know. Who did that? Huh? Who built it that? Who built it that? Yeah? Who? Yeah? And you looked at them. They were all very quiet. And then he went again, you know, and the next time he went again, you know, to Bangkok, you know, and then, yeah? I mean, it's just like, you know, I'm... So we should not get into the habit, you know. I mean, our monastery this year, our monastery is pretty much, yeah? Pretty much complete, yeah. I mean, we built the wall, we built all the kutis, you know, that are necessary, and most of them are in good shape, you know. So, I mean, we don't need to build anything. We just need to repair this or that, you know, that breaks down. So, I mean, you have all the time, you know, to practice, yeah. And what are you doing, yeah? Thinking about practice. That is not practicing. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, I want to do that. You know, I want to practice like this. And then you sit for 5 minutes and then you change your mind. No, I want to do, yeah, I want to investigate this. Huh? For instance, when you go in contemplation, yeah, and then you say, oh, I want to contemplate about, you know, my stomach or my heart or my liver or whatever, you know, and 5 minutes later, oh, no, that is boring, you know, let's contemplate something else. Yeah? I mean, the purpose of meditation, you know, no matter if it is calm meditation or if it is vipassana investigation, it is always sticking to one object. Huh? And whenever the mind deviates from this object, you know, you bring it back to this object. Huh? And for contemplation, it is very clear. The first thing is you have to see that object that you want to investigate. Otherwise, I mean, how can you investigate it? Huh? You have to see it with your inner eyes. Huh? If you still can't see it with your inner eyes, you know, take a look, you know, if it is the outside parts like the skin, you know, the teeth or the eyes or whatever, yeah, or the hair of the head or the hair of the body, you know, you want to investigate that or the nails, yeah. Then look at them for 5 minutes until you get a clear picture, you know, and then close your eyes and, you know, contemplate it and stick, you know, for the next hour or for the time that you determined, you know, to do contemplation, you know, stick with it. Yeah? Not deviating, oh yeah, that's boring, you know, now I know, yeah. You don't know anything. Yeah? it doesn't matter, you know, if it is, you know, meditation to find calm and happiness, yeah, or peacefulness, you know, or it is contemplation to understand what is going on, yeah. I mean, we're so attached to this body, you know? We're so attached to this body. We constantly look after this body, you know? I mean, we don't realize, or we don't remember, you know, that when we came into this world as a baby, you know, that we had to train this body for 15 years. Huh? Remember? Normally we don't want to remember it. Learning to walk, you know, getting up, falling over. That's why I find this a very good simile, you know, for meditation. I mean, we stick to the Buddha, you know, the mind goes off, so we bring it back. Just like a little child, you know, it wants to stand or it wants to learn to walk, you know, it gets up, yeah, and it falls over. And what does the child do? Yeah, it cries a little bit, you know, if it hurts itself, and then it gets up again. Yeah? And then it gets up again. And it falls over again, it gets up again, and it falls over again, it gets up again, until it can stand. But the sole purpose of this child, and that is where our desire, you know, this our desire lacks there, because I mean we know everything. I mean we have trained this body, you know, the desire is not strong enough, you know, to stick with our Buddha, with the breath. Yeah, I mean, we should have the same motivation that a little child has. You know, we want to learn to walk, yeah? Just like now we want to learn to meditate, yeah? The same kind of desire, you know, the same kind of effort that a child, you know, puts into learning to walk or learning to talk, yeah? It's the same thing. It's nothing that we can read in books or nothing that our parents can teach us how to do it. It is something that we have to learn how to do it. Huh? Remember this? Yeah? We have to learn, yeah? Not our parents, you know, I mean, you know, give us some lectures, you know, how to walk, yeah? They can't give us, even if they wanted, you know, they don't know how to do it, yeah? Because, you know, we're standing up, you know, we have to train the muscles, you know, to be able to hold, you know, to be able to stand, you know. All these muscles, all these tendons, you know, we have to train them, you know, so that, you know, that we stand, you know, and don't fall over, yeah? And that's the same thing with meditation, yeah? We have to train, you know, we have to train the mind so that it sticks with the Buddha or with the breath. And of course, you know, it is not easy, yeah? But now we are so old, you know, and we don't want to learn anything new. Yes, we are interested in meditation, but we are only interested in the fruits of meditation, but we are not interested in doing the work to receive the fruits. That is the big problem, yeah? We are always looking for the fruits. Where is the fruits? Where is the fruits? Yeah? Where is this peacefulness that I experienced in a half a year ago, or 2 years ago, or 10 years ago? Where is it? Where is it gone? It's gone. Yeah? Where is the cloud, you know, that brought the rain this morning? It's gone. Does it come back? No. Because it dissipated. Huh? Remember? Dissipated. You know, new clouds will form, you know, with rain, you know, and they come again. But each rain is different. Yeah? Each cloud is different. Just like each moment in our life is different. It doesn't come back, the experience we had, even yesterday, or just 5 minutes ago, it doesn't come back again. It will be a new experience. And that's what makes it interesting. If we see it, if we understand it, you know, that each experience will differ. Just like each breath is different from the breath before. But we are so good, you know, finding the similarities. Yeah, I mean, of course they are similar. Just like a cloud is similar to another cloud. So is a breath similar to the last breath? Or a Buddha is similar to the last Buddha? Yeah? But they differ. I mean, it can differ in length, it can differ in depth, it can differ in a lot of things. And that's what we have to look for. We have to look for the difference that make it interesting, so that the mind sticks, yeah? Because if the mind is interested in one thing, it sticks to it. And if it sticks to it, it gets concentrated. Huh? If you're interested 100%, you're completely concentrated. Huh? I mean, think about the hobbies you had where you got completely lost, where you lost time, where you lost, you know, your environment, you know, if you had some. You get interested in it and then you suddenly concentrate. But where's our interest? We want to know. We want to experience. That was our interest. But we don't want to do the work anymore. Because it is hard, it is tough, huh? It's not easy, huh? It takes a lot of effort and it takes a lot of determination and especially takes a lot of patience. Just come back, okay, just come back, okay, just come back, okay. It takes a lot of patience, yeah? But we are impatient. I mean, the younger generation now, I mean, I feel so. I mean, they have a concentration span of not more than 2 minutes, or even now 1 minute, yeah, with all their smartphones, yeah. I didn't grow up with smartphones, I didn't grow up with computers, I didn't grow up with, you know, with the internet, yeah. I mean, I was probably 30, you know, or 25, you know, when I first had the contact with a computer. Yeah? What did I do before? My life must have been very boring. Huh? I played in the woods, yeah? I used imagination, creation, and all these things. Yeah? So, I mean, the concentration span now, you know, I mean, the younger the people are that start to meditate, the more difficult it is. Because they have so much entertainment. Yeah? If they are bored, you know, they look at their smartphones, you know, what is up? Yeah? And then they look here, you know, and then look at this application, look at that application, or look at this video, or that video, or this audio, or that audio, you know, I mean, there's endless time. They can completely, you know, I mean, 24 hours, they're completely entertained, yeah? And the next day it's the same thing, because the things on the internet constantly change, yeah? So their concentration span, you know, it is very difficult. Then these people, you know, so once in a while they feel dissatisfied, you know, and then start, and then they hear about meditation, or meditation, you know, gives you satisfaction, or happiness, or feel of calm, or feel of peacefulness, yeah? And they want to meditate, you know, and after 2 minutes, you know, oh, that is so boring, you know, I mean, I don't want it anymore, yeah? I mean, I can't, oh. No, I mean, we have to persist. You know the word persist, huh? Persisting, you know, pulling the mind back to the point, you know, of reference, yeah? And the point of reference is one object, yeah? It is our lifesaver, you know, however you call the lifesaver, yeah, it keeps you from drowning in your thoughts and emotions and feelings and whatever comes up, yeah? It keeps you afloat, yeah? It keeps you on top of the things, yeah? Drowning means you drown within your feelings, your thoughts and emotions and everything, yeah? So if you don't have a lifesaver where you can have a tight grip on it, you know, I mean, then you stay... Then you float, then you drown, yeah? Drown in your thoughts, drown in your emotions and think, oh, yesterday was much better, or 10 years ago, you know, the experience of meditation. Yes, of course, yeah. That's what we believe, yeah? That's what we think, yeah? Unless we investigate and see, you know, I mean, we had a lot of dukkha at that time as well. I mean, I did it, you know, I mean, whenever something, you know, a nice memory stuck out, you know, and said, ah, oh, yeah, that was very nice, you know, then I looked at it, you know, and saw all this unhappiness that surrounded it. Or how much, you know, how much of suffering I had to go through, you know, to get just a moment of happiness. And now I know, I mean, I just need to enter samadhi to get some happiness. Or what I need to do is sit down, close my eyes, you know, and stick with the Buddha or stick with the breath. And then, it's amazing, you know, it's all there. Huh? Whatever we look outside in the world is all actually, you know, is created within us, yeah? All the feelings, you know, that we are looking for. The feeling, you know, I mean, oh, I'm so lonely, you know? The feeling of loneliness disappears the moment we enter samadhi. There's no loneliness. I mean, we're connected to everything, yeah? To everything that exists in this universe. And there's no future, there's no past, I mean, there's no worries, there's no fear, there's nothing, yeah? And the moment we come out, you know, I mean, everything is the same. Oh, we want this, you know, we want that, you know, and this is not according to our wishes, that is not according. I mean, I thought, you know, meditation would be like this, or I thought, you know, practice would be like this, or I thought, you know, in this monastery, you know, it would be like this or that, you know, I mean, not satisfied, you know, then we go to another monastery, you know, and then, you know, we are happy for a while, you know, and then we find, oh, this is not to my liking, that is not to my liking, or this kind of meditation is not to my liking. It will never end. Huh? I mean, remember the story of the Lord Buddha, you know, I mean, when he was with Ananda on Pindapat, I mean, they called him, they went to a city where they called him, yeah, I mean, bald-headed camel, what is it, camel hair, and so on, yeah? I mean, all, you know, these nice words that you don't like to hear. And then the Venerable Ananda said, you know, okay, let's go to another city where they respect us. Because it's nice to get respect, yeah? And then the Lord Buddha asked him, you know, and if the same thing happens in this other city, where do you want to go? Oh, yeah, then let's go to another city. And when in that city, you know, or in over that city, you know, I mean, it happens the same thing. I mean, you can't escape from these things. And that leads back to karma. We cannot escape our karma. Yeah? Whatever we have done in the past will come back to us. No matter if we like it or not. So just be happy to accept it, yeah? I mean, if it is really bad karma, you know, bite your teeth, you know, and say, okay, I get it, I take it, Don't fight it, you know, because if you fight the karma that comes from previous life, or previous deeds, you know, I mean, it gets worse. It will come back to you until you can't fight it anymore, And when is that? When we can't fight our karma anymore? When we go to hell, that's where we just have to experience our bad karma. Or, you know, if it is on a human realm where we really put in a situation where we can't fight back. So, I mean, accept it. If you like it or not, accept it. You know, I mean, bite your teeth if it is difficult, you know, but go through it. Accept it. Don't fight it. Because whatever happens in our life, I mean, last time I said we are very lucky, you know, to be here in Thailand. Think about now being in Europe or being in America. I mean, we are looked after. I mean, all our needs are looked after. And the people, you know, the lay people work, I mean, they work, you know, I mean, they have a work, you know, they earn money or they are farmers, you know, and they grow crops, you know, and they give it to us. Give it to us. Free of charge. The only charge the Lord put the charge on it and said, you know, I mean, if you're worthy of this food and this offering, you have to practice. Do you remember anybody reading the suttas where the Lord Buddha said, if you're worthy of this offering, you have to build monasteries, you know, and jetties, and you know, and stupas, you know, and Buddha rupas, and so, and this and that? I mean, I didn't hear it, I didn't see it. No, he said, you have to practice. And the practice of a practitioner, of a monk, you know, or a person who lives in the monastery, what is it? Walking trunkram, sitting in samadhi, Or walking trunkram, doing contemplation, or just sitting, you know, and doing contemplation. That is our only work that we have to do, And of course, we have to look after our body, you know, we have to feed the body, we have to wash the body, We have to take the care of the body, you know, if it is sick, That's it, And we have to take care of the monastery of the place we live in. So we keep our kutiki, and it is so beautiful, you know, because the life is so simple, I mean, we have three robes, you know, I mean, we have a bathing robe, and some answers, you know, I mean, it's within 15 or 20 minutes, everything is washed, Not like, when we were lay people, where we have hundreds of shirts, you know, 50 pairs of shoes and whatever, you know, I don't know what, And all these books, you know, and all these things, you know, in our kuti, you know, I mean, there's hardly anything in our kutis, There's a candle, you know, and there's our rope, and there's our boats, and something else, you know. Nowadays, you know, MP3 players to listen to talk. Very simple life. To make it simple, I mean, so that we don't get distracted by all the things, you know, that surrounds us, And to remind us of the simplicity of the life, to remind us of the simplicity of meditation. So get it right, you know, get it determined, you know, determine yourself in the morning, whenever I deviate from the Buddha, you know, I will go back to the Buddha, not questioning, not putting any questioning, not asking why or when or where or where, Just going back instantly. And if you do that for days or for a few weeks, you know, I mean, you will end up in samadhi. But if you believe, if you follow your thoughts that come from, of course, they come from the kilesas, who are dissatisfied with this, who are dissatisfied with the practice, it's so boring, let me do something else, Or let me have a break. Who wants a break? The kilesas, They're the only one who wants a break. Let me have a break, And what do you do in the break? Undo everything, you know, that you just gathered in your meditation. Now I have so much energy, what am I going to do? I build this or I build that, I do this or I do that, you know. And then we are drained of the energy, you know, and then we have to sit back in meditation. And then we have to, just like the, you know, just like the example I always use, I mean... We catch our motorbike, you know, that is somewhere discarded, you know, there's no fuel in it, you know, I mean, we carry it to the next gas station, you know, and then fill it up. Yeah. The moment it is filled up, you know, I mean, the Kalesas take it over and run with it, yeah, until the tank is empty. And then we have to fill it, and then we have to find it and fill it up again. That's just like our chitta constantly going out, you know, and going out and using all the energy of concentration or the concentration that we just build up, you know, to think about this or think about that, you know, and then we are tired and then we have to go back to the book. Oh, it's so boring, it's so boring. Because each time, you know, I mean, we just build up a little bit of energy and then we get a big insight. Yeah? So we have to follow this insight. We have to understand where this insight is coming from. Yeah, I mean, that is what is happening, you know, and then at the end we realize that was probably nothing, you know, it was just fooling us, you know, I mean, it wasn't gold, it was the fool's gold, yeah, I mean, yeah. And then we have to do it again. And then, of course, you know, after all this time, you know, we get tired, yeah. So, in the morning you not determine yourself, yeah, okay. I'm determined, whenever I stray off my putto or the breath, you know, or the tip of the nose, yeah, then I just go back. Yeah? We don't need to think here in the monastery. That is the nice thing about it. Yeah? We don't need to think when we eat, you know. I mean, it's going automatically. Yeah? Have you realized it? Yeah? You stretch out your arm, you put it in the bowl, you know, and you put the food into your mouth, yeah. I mean, you don't need to think about how to put the food into your mouth, huh? Huh? Or sweeping, you don't need to think about how to sweep, yeah? You just sweep, yeah? What is going on, yeah? I don't like to sweep, yeah? Why is this belief not going away, you know? I'm too lazy to yeah? To knee and pick it up, huh? So then I sweep for 5 minutes until this one leaf, you know, goes off, yeah? That's what is happening, yeah? Now, whenever you see, yeah, I mean, when your determination is firm, whenever you see the mind goes off, yeah, just bring it back. Yeah. There's nothing that we need to think of. Yeah. And the more we think, the more things go wrong. Yeah? Have you noticed it? My upatak should have noticed it. Yeah? And the pravin should have noticed it as well. Whenever we start thinking, shall I do this, shall I do that? You know, I mean, things go wrong. When we have sati, when we have this clear understanding that comes with the samadhi, we see, we open our eyes and it is, everything is clear, like our house is clear and clean, you know, and we see exactly what needs to be done. If nothing needs to be done, we don't need to do anything. It's so clear. Huh? Whenever you watch an arahant, you know, if there's nothing to do, he sits there, you know, closes his eyes, you know, until he's asked, you know, until, you know, an occasion comes where he's asked to act, yeah? And then he acts. And if he's not asked to act, you know, then he doesn't act. And then he's not there. And this is the amazing thing about an arahant, he's not there. I mean, you see, you know, you see the hull of his body, you know, I mean, just the outside of his body, but he's not there, he's not present. In the moment, you know, I mean, something triggers, something needs to be said, or something needs to be done, suddenly he's there, present, but 100% present, yeah? Not diverted by this, not distracted by this or that. This is the advantage when you live with an arahant. You see it, you know, you see it happen. Okay, enough for today, yeah? Okay, huh?